This is Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com, and I am with Jim Ram with Eco Engineers. Jim, how are you?
Good. Hi, Joanna. Nice to be here with you today.
Well, thanks for sitting down with me. We are in Altoona, Iowa at the Renewable Fuels Summit, and good turnout today. I'm excited to see so many people. But I happened to be walking by and I saw your company. I was very interested in what you do. So let's start off by talking a little bit about your company and sort of the focal things that you do.
Thanks, Joanna. My company is Eco Engineers. I'm a partner. There are 7 employees. We're located right here in Des Moines, Iowa. And we provide engineering and compliance and software solutions. We work for renewable fuel producers. So we help those producers to comply with the RFS and to participate in RIN markets.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, most people think renewable fuel producers are thinking ethanol, biodiesel, but you actually have a broader group. There's more companies that produce renewable fuels. So what are some of those other ones, type of, I guess, fuel sources or pathways per se?
Our customer base includes anyone that's participating in the RFS. So that includes cellulosic, advanced biofuels, biogas type producers. It also includes ethanol producers who are beginning to have advanced fractions as part of their plan.
So let's talk a little bit about RINs. You know, it's always a hot topic in the industry. Going into last year, there was a lot of uncertainty. There had been waivers filed against the RFS, which could have negatively affected the ethanol industry. We had the drought. I know the corn or the RIN prices dropped. Then you had, on the biodiesel side, the lack of tax credit, which fortunately came back. And then you've had this new announcement from the U.S. Court of Appeals that basically rescinds any waiver gallons for RFS on the cellulosic side. So let's talk a little bit, you know, let's start with ethanol. You know, how have the RIN prices sort of been trending, and what do you think might happen in this next year?
What we've seen is the RIN prices go up dramatically to a record level just in the past week. So RIN prices historically were at a 19-cent high. Yesterday in the morning they were at 25 cents, and they were 30 cents by the close of business yesterday. We have a RIN index that we provide, a daily RIN price of all the different renewable fuels. So we watch that. We've looked at that for 3 years. And so what are the market forces? It's really supply and demand. So I've recently visited a large number of ethanol plants, and their production, they're producing at lower levels because of the corn price right now. So the drought, the poor corn crop that we had, many areas of the country talk about a 50% yield on corn. So the corn price is up, and so production is down, and the RIN prices are responding. So in a way, it indicates that the RIN program is really working, that there is a supply and demand. We have a high corn price, which hurts the producer, but we also have a high RIN price, which is a benefit. And the high RIN price, I hope, will help ethanol producers to be profitable this year.
I want to talk about biodiesel, but before I get there, you were talking about the ethanol industry. You're seeing a lot of ethanol producers trying to transition into the cellulosic side or the advanced biofuel side. With this recent ruling, are there in fact still cellulosic RINs, or can there be cellulosic RINs? I mean, how is that affecting the industry?
There are cellulosic RINs. We're seeing these facilities come up around the country in Florida, Ohio, Michigan, and we're seeing cellulosic being added to traditional ethanol plants. I'm looking for those RINs to become part of the steady supply. We're not there today, but I am looking for them to become part of the steady supply and an important part of the fuel, renewable fuel economy.
So, Jim, when you're comparing a current ethanol RIN with what you're now starting to see for a cellulosic RIN, what are the price differences? Are these cellulosic RINs worth significantly more than a sort of a, what we think of as first generation ethanol RIN?
Yes, traditionally, first generation ethanol RIN has been priced at 3, 4, or 5 cents per gallon, and to make ethanol. An advanced, for instance, a sugarcane based ethanol or a cellulosic ethanol, they're much higher. So for an advanced biofuel RIN, typically 40 to 50 to 60 cents per RIN. A cellulosic ethanol RIN, I don't even want to venture the pricing on that, because the supply has really not been there for the market to really understand what the pricing is on cellulosic. The supply hasn't been steady enough. They have not been as available. Many of the plants are new startups, and they haven't fully come online and created a steady supply of these RINs.
For a first-generation ethanol producer who is moving into the cellulosic area, there's different compliance issues. So is that one of the things that eco-engineers can help those plants with as they move in, to understand what kind of compliance has to be in effect before they can, in fact, sell a cellulosic RIN?
Yes, thank you. One of the products that we, an important product for us, is a quality assurance plan. And because we do RIN management, we do an interface with the EPA moderated transaction system, and we've helped producers since the beginning of RFS2. So we started in 2009 to develop a web-based platform that was all about RIN management. So how do I, as a producer, generate the RINs, sell them, match them up with the sale? How do I make sure that I'm using the right decodes, that my registration is correct, that my engineering review is appropriate, is correct, my air permitting is good? So those type of compliance issues with RFS2. How do I stay in good standing with the RFS so that I can participate in these RIN markets, which really drive the economics of the plant? So that's what our business model is based on. What we saw was in the fourth quarter of 2011, when the biodiesel fraud came out, two facilities in Texas, one facility in Maryland, it really hurt the biodiesel RIN pricing. And so the quality assurance plan became demanded by the marketplace. So downstream marketers are asking, where are these RINs from? We were in a very good position to provide that service as a third party. And so we expanded on our web-based program to include a quality assurance piece. We currently have approximately 35 biodiesel producers on under contract, and we do RIN quality assurance for about 350 million nameplate gallons of biodiesel, and we have 5 ethanol facilities on contract and 250 million gallons of ethanol. So these producers want to differentiate their product and have a RIN that's been vetted and approved by us, and it's creating ripples in the market. So it ends up being that these RINs are being aggregated together and being sold in blocks to obligated parties who want a vetted product, a third-party approved quality assurance plan product.
So Jim, you mentioned about the biodiesel producers that you have who are using your system. How has their RIN been affected by the passage, at least for one more year, of the dollar per gallon tax credit?
It's been hurt. So again, it's supply and demand. So the dollar a gallon tax credit for blending, and that goes against the excise tax for them. That's a strong incentive for them to increase production. So based on increased production, there are going to be more biodiesel RINs on the marketplace, and so the price is going to come down. So we saw an immediate reaction. Biodiesel RINs that were trading at say, 60 cents dropped into the 40-cent type levels immediately upon news of that passage of the bill. And we're seeing biodiesel. We also saw feedstock prices go up. So as soon as the biodiesel, or as soon as the blender's credit came back, feedstock markets and RIN markets reacted.
That's interesting. I didn't personally realize that the feedstock prices have gone up. So how is that then sort of shifting the profitability of a biodiesel plant? If your RINs are going down, your feedstock costs are going up, but you still have a pretty level demand, are there margins actually going down?
It's not. There's a lot of market forces and market variability. So first and foremost, you have to make a good product, first and foremost, and you have to be able to sell that product into the transportation. So you have to have a way to, you can't just increase production without having a place to put the product. So good producers are going to come to the top and produce. And just because there's a dollar tax credit doesn't mean that the producers are seeing all that revenue. There is some benefit there, but much of the benefit gets taken up by feedstock supply or by the RIN price going down. Yeah,
there's a lot to think about for these producers. So, Jim, I'm assuming you can take on more clients so they can join your system and get that third party, you know, that we talked about, validity to their RINs. Where can people go to get more information?
They can go to ecoengineers.us is the website, ecoengineers.us. Or they can see us here in Des Moines. We'll be at the NBB and ethanol conferences in Las Vegas next week. And they can give us a call at 515-309-1279 for any inquiry.
Great. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.